Thank you for having me. Really nice to be with you. I will speak on a couple of polls that we just conducted. So these are the most recent results of Palestinian public opinion polls. On the one hand, you know, we see that most Palestinians are still clinging to optimism about the future. So the majority of Palestinians still have a positive outlook to the future. Over 50% see that Palestinian society is still heading in the right direction, and about 58% are still optimistic about the future, which is, you know, to some extent, not necessarily congruent with the reality on the ground, but people continue to be hopeful. One of the issues that still and continue to be in Palestinians' mind is the whole issue of the UN vote on Palestinian statehood, and at the same time, the end of the war, the latest war on Gaza, the ceasefire in Gaza. While we see that people are less enthusiastic about these two events five months after, still the majority of Palestinians continue to believe that the UN vote for a Palestinian state and the war in Gaza and the ceasefire following that are still considered to be a victory for Palestinians. At the same time, on internal issues, Palestinians have many tasks, including the whole issue of democracy and elections. We see consistently, and this recent poll has proven, that the vast majority of Palestinians support the conduct of elections at all levels, legislative, presidential, and local elections, in both regions on the West Bank and Gaza. In fact, Gazans are more supportive of the conduct of elections, and most people see this as the best way to resolve the stalemate between the two major parties, Fatah and Hamas. In any election, Abbas continues to be the most popular of all leaders, whether they are nationalist or Islamist leaders. He is usually followed by Ismail Haniyeh and some other independents, such as Salam Fayyad and Mustafa Barghouti. In terms of government performance, we have seen recently sort of the demise of the positive evaluation of the Fayyad government in the West Bank, but we also have seen great decline in support for the government headed by Ismail Haniyeh in Gaza. So people in general are sort of ready for change. They are ready for a new type of government in both regions. Both of them stayed almost 6 years now, or even more. So the Fayyad government, especially Fayyad, as you know, we know that the results of the poll were used to change some policy in, you know, in different quarters, because the latest poll has shown that less than 20% give his government a positive evaluation, and that is to some extent due to the major shift in how the Fatah supporters have sort of shifted from his support to total opposition for him. In terms of one of the major issues that continue to be with us, which is related to the negotiations, and Palestinians continue since the end of the Second Intifada, the majority of them continue to be supportive of negotiations. We still see the same numbers very much in terms of 50 to 55% are supportive of negotiations, immediate return to negotiations with Israel. But many, many more support negotiations and an immediate return to negotiations if Israel were to freeze settlement activity at about 76%. One of the other issues that had an effect on Palestinians lately is what so-called the Arab Spring or the Arab Revolutions. We see during the last 2 years or year and a half, we see that optimism about the Arab Spring has been dwindling. It has been declining to a very large extent, especially on the Egyptian front, where the majority of respondents now do not really see good things coming out of that for the Palestinians. So that's sort of, in a nutshell, my presentation.
Great. Thanks, Younader. I really appreciate it. And again, my apologies to people who had to wait. I think it was well worth the wait. I just read recently an article, I think it was the day before yesterday, by Tom Friedman of the New York Times, who sort of bemoaned the announcement that we heard from Prime Minister Fayyad of his resignation. Do you think that his resignation really marks an end of an era in the way that Palestinian Authority is run?
I'm not sure if that is an accurate diagnosis of the situation in the Palestinian community. First of all, Gaza was not really affected much by the Fayyad government. So we're talking about the West Bank, and much of the West Bank, in any case, is still controlled by the Israeli occupation. So to some extent, this vision of institution building and state building and reform has, you know, has been very effective, and it will continue for the most part to be with us. Any government that comes after that will have to build on it. Otherwise, it will not, you know, really gain any support among Palestinians. So while Fayyad might be leaving, and we're not even sure about that, because it's, there is a possibility that this sort of government that will run affairs until a new government comes out might actually be a prolonged government. So Fayyad is staying with us. But even if he goes, I think his approach, what's called Fayyadism, is most probably is going to be with us for the most part, especially if that Fatah itself in those banks does not have a different program on economic and social development.
Got it. Let me just remind our listeners that the way to ask a question is to first signal to me that you would like to ask the question. You do it by dialing 5-star. So you dial 5 and then the star button. I will then know that you are interested in asking a question, and I will call on you. So please go ahead and do that if you'd like. 5-star is the way to signal to me that you'd like to ask a question, and I will unmute you to ask your question. Nader, maybe one other thing that I'd like to ask you before I take questions from our listeners is the issue that you raised when we talked a couple of days ago about the difference that you make between public opinion and public sentiment, and particularly how that pertains to the question of Salam Fayyad and his popularity. And his popularity of his program.
Yes. You know, just looking at 2 decades of polling among Palestinians, we see sort of a very clear sort of approach of how people sort of express themselves. On paper, Salam Fayyad, on paper in meaning that what we get as results from the polling that we do, Salam Fayyad does not look that strong, does not look that popular. In reality, he has much more out there, and there is, a silent, large group that does not really say that they support Fayyad because of what seems to be the hegemony of the 2 major groups that are extremely critical of him. So he is not organized, he does not have a political party to sort of carry him along. I think that his resignation now, and that it is becoming more of a fact in the minds of most people. I think if we do a poll, and we intend to do one next week, I think we're going to see much more sympathy to his approach now that he is going. So most people are now feeling that they are ignored and they are not accounted for because, you know, he's out. So what to do? So that sort of vagueness of the future without him is going to create much more sympathy and support for him. While people were critical of him, now they realize that reality is going to be much more difficult without him. So I think we're going to see much more support for him and less support for his resignation in the coming few weeks.
Thank you. We're going to take our first question from, and excuse me if I'm mispronouncing the name, Orna Borinsky-Walker. I'm going to unmute you and ask you to ask your question. Go ahead, please.
Hello, my name is Dana Berensky-Walker from Rebuilding Alliance.
Sorry about that. Go ahead.
No problem. Thank you for taking my question. Dr. Fokaha, my group, Rebuilding Alliance, has been working with Al-Aqaba Village in Area C, and we've been involved with having the village. We help design homes with the families. We've been keeping it standing because 149 other Palestinian villages are just like it. They're facing demolition orders on more than 50% of the structures in the towns. In the process of our building, we created a mortgage program because none of the providers will provide mortgages. The thing that I was really impressed with Salam Fayyad, it created a land guard program, although it's very small and relatively underfunded. And I wonder if you have any sense of what does the it, and it also strikes me that very few people speak out for the families in Area C. There's no with them. Is there a way that you poll about Area C, and do you see the new government paying more attention? How will they hold on to the? How will they help families hold on to their land in Area C?
Yes, thank you so much, Dana, for this very good question. As you know, most land in the West Bank is actually in Area C, and most Palestinian resources, agriculture, water, and you know the ability to sort of expand is in Area C. Palestinians are not allowed to a very large extent to develop in this area. If you look at the plans that the PA has, and if you look at the rhetoric of all political groups and even the international community, there is an increased mention of Area C. There is an increased interest in Area C. I think, you know, I look at the PA and its latest plan, and I look at the allocation, even the funding is increasing for Area C. And even the EU, the UN are becoming more and more interested in Area C. But the main issue stays in terms of the ability for anyone to actually implement any of these plans and any of these sort of programs that they have. You know, for example, even USAID, which is the US government funding, for it to be able to, of like 1 mile, it has to go through years of getting permits from the Israeli authorities. And even so, most applications for development in this area are rejected for the first part. So it's, you know, in a way, it's a catch-22. While Palestinians have to do much more, you know, and they have to provide much more in terms of development, the Oslo Agreement gives Israel the right to, you know, license or not license in that area, and which means that the role of civil society is much more important and so on. But the issue of building mostly and demolition in Jerusalem as well as in Area C is still rampant. Today we've been hearing about hundreds of new units that will be demolished also in some communities such as the ones that you just mentioned.
Thank you, Nader, and thank you, Donna. Our next question comes from David Abrams. Go ahead, David.
Yes. It's widely reported in the U.S. that Prime Minister Fayyad's resignation was a prerequisite for further efforts to reconciliation with Hamas. What is your reading of public sentiment, both in regards to the desirability and the likelihood of that taking place?
On paper, you know, we had an actual resignation, and we had an acceptance of the resignation. However, in reality, I think it will continue to be with us for some time, as the suggestion that his resignation is related to reconciliation, I think, is to a large less one, because in reality, it's Fatah and Hamas that are, you know, stalling, and they are the ones who are placing obstacles on reconciliation. And just my own reading is that even if Fatah will reach the stage where it has to do reconciliation, I think Hamas is not that interested at this point of time. Geography helps in terms of separation, and at the same time, the inability for people to come back and forth from these two areas also reinforces the status quo. The direction towards Egypt and the Islamic Brotherhood movement might also give more sort of direction towards Egypt instead of towards the West Bank. So I think the issue of reconciliation is much, much more sort of a broader issue than Fayyad. The Fayyad issue, for the most part, is one of internal strife between the president and Fayyad on the one hand, and Fatah and Fayyad on the other hand. Fatah would like to see more sort of concessions from Fayyad on their own agenda. They would like to see him do things that they like, and they would like to see more benefits from his government for them at the personal level. And that type of corruption is not something that Fayyad will take lightly, and therefore I think it's Fatah that actually took out Fayyad, and not all Fatah, of course, some people within Fatah, because he has also support within the Fatah movement.
Thank you, Nader, and thank you, David. Our next question comes from Avi Gordon. Go ahead, Avi, please.
Is this Avi Gordon you wanted?
I guess so, yes. I'm sorry.
Okay, hi. I wanted, you mentioned a little bit about the Arab Spring in Egypt and the way the Palestinians are looking at it. Is there any way that Hello?
Yes, hello?
I wanted to know more about the Arab Spring. Is there any possibility that there will be an Arab Spring in the occupied territories? And if so, where it will lead, that or intifada, a new intifada because of some frustration, even though you said that the polls are high for peace negotiation?
Yes, we have done a great deal of research and polling on this issue, especially among Palestinian youth. And, you know, Palestinians have, you know, just like all people, have limited space and limited time and limited energy. And I think that given the fact that the occupation continues, to the vast majority of Palestinians, that continue to be the main priority. While there is a great deal of discontent among Palestinians, especially among Palestinian youth, in the West Bank and in Gaza, when sort of push comes to shove, basically, they sort of go back to the external threat, and they always are sort of postponing internal issues to a large extent, and therefore, which gives Hamas and Fatah a great leeway to sort of continue with the status quo as it is, although, you know, discontent is being, you know, increasing. And an Arab Spring in the West Bank is not possible. You know, most Palestinian young people already are part of political groups, and we see that in the universities in the last 2 weeks, that at least 70-75% of the students are part of political groups, and they have been voting for their groups in university campuses in the West Bank, which means that unlike the Egyptian regime or other regimes, Fatah has a great, a very large constituency. It has its own tribe, basically, that is willing to protect it, unlike the Syrian regime or unlike the Egyptian regime. Same thing with Hamas in Gaza. So that most probably is not a real option for Palestinians at this point of time. The other issue, actually, is the possibility of a new uprising. I think that's even more possible than an internal uprising, because at that time, if Fatah or Hamas feel that young people are going to sort of revolt against them, they most probably will redirect the attention to something that's external in relation to Israel.
Nader, if there is a new uprising, as you mentioned, how do you see it? What do you think is the way in which it will play out?
I personally don't believe that, you know, in anytime soon there will be an uprising, you know, although, you know, all circumstances seem to be leading to that. But I think that internally there is no readiness and willingness at this point of time to take it all out and, you know, come out to the streets against sort of the occupation through an uprising. And we just polled, actually, in our latest poll on that, and we have seen that while the majority of Palestinians support nonviolent sort of popular resistance, they do not at all support an uprising as such, because the last memory that most people have, and especially young people have, is the second intifada, the second uprising, which was much more violent. It was really, really popular. So Palestinians are experimenting now more and more with popular resistance, including nonviolence resistance.
Thank you. Just to remind the callers, in order to ask a question, you press 5-star. You will then hear, it will tell you that your hand has been raised. You have virtually raised your hand, and I will call on you to ask your question. Our next question comes from Jim Vitarello in Washington, D.C. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, hi, Ori, and hello, Dr. How do you pronounce your last name? Fokabha?
It's Saeed, actually. Fokabha is also fine.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I saw a recent Zogby poll that Jim and John Zogby did on a very comprehensive poll that I think is still on the AAI website, you know, the Arab American Institute website,
mm-hmm.
on a wide variety of Middle East peace issues, where they interviewed Israeli Jews, Israeli Palestinians, West Bank and Gaza Palestinians, et cetera. And one finding that they had on Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza really struck me. As Ori knows, I'm a big fan of Sharing Jerusalem. In fact, I'm the president of a group called Sharing Jerusalem. It was the fact that an equal percentage of Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza as Israeli Jews did not support Sharing Jerusalem. In fact, I think it was like 54%. did not want to share Jerusalem with the Israeli Jews. To me, the implication was they wanted it all the way, unfortunately, many Israeli Jews also want it all. And so I was wondering, have you ever polled that that issue at all? Or could you try to explain to us in America why would a majority of Palestinians not want to share Jerusalem?
I mean, I didn't see the poll, so I didn't see the question. Actually, on the issue of Jerusalem, especially Jerusalem, it depends on how you frame the question and what the options are. What options do you really give? The more you go into details, the more people are willing to share, and the more, you know, you're able to sort of distinguish between control and sovereignty, it's also another issue. Our research actually shows a great deal of willingness on the part of Palestinians to share Jerusalem, and even the whole issue of unification and for Jerusalem to become an international sort of city is also highly popular. But it's the question on all issues, not only Jerusalem, but also on refugees. It's a question of realism, and is it actionable at this point of time? I think the parts of the peace process are very much affected by how people see the whole. They don't see a real peace process. They are disillusioned with the Oslo Agreement. They do not see any progress. They see an Israeli government that is not willing, and they see a Palestinian government that's divided. So the issue here is an issue of feeling of proximity solution. The more we come to a real, a solution, and the more people see that leaders are serious about it, the more they are willing to become more reconciliatory and more compromising on issues. But now it's theoretical. So if it's theoretical, then people can theorize and can abstract as much as they want. If it's a dream, if it's not real and it's a dream, let's dream big. So again, I think most Palestinians and most Israelis, the closer we come to a solution, the closer they'll become to agree to that solution.
Thank you, Nader. Our next question comes from Dan Fleshler, who is an APN board member. Go ahead, Dan.
Yes, thank you very much. I'm wondering whether your polling has revealed any changes or sentiments sort of nuances about the question of the one-state solution. You talked about the optimism about the future and the hope, but what's going on with this question in terms of your polling?
Yes, we've been polling about this for the last two decades, actually, and we don't really see much movement among the vast majority of Palestinians on this. I think most people don't even understand what that is. There are no real groups that advocate. I mean, you have Fatah two-state solution, and then you have Hamas that's not sure exactly at this point of time where they stand. In reality, they stand for a two-state solution. So that's your majority of Palestinians. And you have the leftist groups, who are, most of them are with Fatah on a two-state solution. So the rest, which is about one-third of Palestinians who are independent, many of them are not really on the clear on this. Many of them are not sure exactly where it is going, and there are no advocates for this who are clearly explaining what this is all about. But also at the same time, most Palestinians know that this option might be something, but they also listen to the other side talking about a Jewish state, and the fact that Israel is becoming more and more of a Jewish state. So they don't see realism in that. I think, again, it's not my opinion, but I'm explaining the rest of the public opinion that still most people are still opting for a two-state solution at this point of time. However, and as much as we see that, it's becoming more and more unrealistic.
Although, this is Ori, just to ask a follow-up question, although they do understand that if they go for a binational state, that will mean Israeli citizenship or something like that?
I don't think that most people understand what that is. It might be one of the fears. Some of the polling previously that was done, which was, was not very constructive, was asking people if they're willing to serve in the Israeli army. So it's not really a binational state, and it's not really a one-state solution. That's not how people would envision it. Originally, the PLO and Fatah was talking about one state, which is a democratic, secular state of all religions, basically. That's a different one state that is now sort of disappearing as the older generation of the PLO is sort of, going away, dying from, most young people don't even have that part of culture.
I understand. Just to remind our listeners again, in order to ask a question, you press 5-star. It'll tell you that your hand has been raised, and I will then call you to ask a question. Our next question comes from Bob. I don't have Bob's last name, but if you're with us, Bob, please go ahead and ask. Bob? No? I guess not. Okay, I have another question here from a person whose name I do not have, so I will unmute you and ask you to go ahead and ask your question.
Good afternoon.
Yes.
My name is Eileen. I'm in Cleveland, Ohio, USA. I'm neither Jewish nor Arabic nor Christian. I'm a Unitarian Universalist, and I have become interested in the BDS movement as a way of nonviolent resistance to the occupation. And I'm wondering, sir, if you have a sense of the Palestinians' sentiment toward the BDS movement.
Thank you for the question. I think that the PDS as such is not, known as such. But the principle and the concept of it is there. And, our latest polling and, even previous polling has shown that if you give Palestinians now at this point of time the option for nonviolence, peaceful resistance, that's gaining more and more ground. However, it's not well articulated. It's not yet well understood. But there is a great deal of interest. This last week, there was a major conference in Bethlehem that was organized around peaceful resistance, and it was attended by major sort of religious and non-religious leaders. So it's gaining momentum. It's there. Most Palestinians are for it, but it's not yet organized enough. It's not yet part of the political culture that leads to organization. So it's still a long way to go, but I think it has a great deal of potential.
Another one thing that, if I remember correctly, it was actually Salam Fayyad who initiated and pushed was a push to boycott settlement products. Is mm-hmm. that something that is still a major effort of the Palestinian Authority?
I think that most Palestinians are trying their best, to boycott settlement products. I think most people, when they go to the supermarkets, they go and they make sure that they ask the question. And so it's becoming more of part of the popular culture than an effort of the PA as such. The PA was interested for some time and they were trying to reinforce it, but you can't really reinforce it by force. People have to be convinced, and most people are. But, we have to remember that there are ways, to go around that, which means that some of the products are mislabeled or, unlabeled, actually, in some cases. And we've been hearing about some, a great deal of expired products that are coming from the settlements and sold in Palestinian markets. So it's still a major issue. It's still something that we have to deal with, not only from a political point of view, but even from a safety and health point of view.
Thank you. I'm going to ask Mordechai Spector to be our next questioner.
Hi, thanks. This is Mordechai with the American Jewish World newspaper in Minnesota. And I have a question for the professor about the U.S. and Israeli policy of putting billions of dollars into the Palestinian Authority for infrastructure projects. What's the sense among Palestinians of this strategy of, economic uplift as opposed to a political solution to the undoing the occupation and gaining freedom for Palestinians?
Thank you, Mordechai, for this question. I'm not sure if I understood it fully, but I understand that you're saying that the Israelis are putting money into the Palestinian Authority. I think that it's the other way around. The American government is, providing money to the Palestinians, mostly directly through its own sort of contractors, not even directly through the PA itself. But the Israelis are actually, in most cases, are withholding Palestinian taxes. And actually, as I mentioned before, most of the infrastructure projects are either stalled, prevented, or sometimes actually destroyed by the Israeli occupation. Again, you know, we have, you know, the Americans and others have tried economic solutions. And if we go back to 1987, we have seen one of the highest total rates of economic growth in terms of per capita, but that did not prevent the first uprising. Before the second uprising, we exactly had the same phenomenon where we had very, you know, sort of very prosperous economy and, you know, high rates of economic development, and we got the second uprising. So economic development by itself will not resolve the issue. For most Palestinians, you know, money does not buy me love. You know, Palestinians are not willing, unwilling, will never actually give up on their sort of political cause for economic development. However, most Palestinians are realistic that, you know, economic, social, and political development has to come together.
Thank you. Mordechai, does that answer your question? Would you like to ask a follow-up, or is that...
Well, just specifically, there was a report in the Times of Israel that Secretary of State Kerry and the Obama administration is preparing now a multi-billion dollar economic initiative. That was the basis for my question.
No, that's a very good, because, yeah, exactly. It's in the news here also, and people are discussing it at this point of time. And, you know, some people are very conservative when it comes to this issue, and they're very aware, you know, and that might actually, in some cases, it might actually lead to less support for the PA, because more and more people will see that the PA is only an economic and security project for the Americans and the Israelis. So for Palestinians to believe, you know, in the PA, and for it to have credibility among Palestinians, it has to also be seen as achieving, you know, political, you know, on the ground politically. And, you know, whoever, you know, like, you know, someone like Abbas, before he was elected, he was like, you know, he was getting like 60% positive evaluation. Now he's getting around 30%, mostly not because of the economic issue, but mostly because he was unable to do anything on the ground politically.
Thank you, Nader. Our last, the last person who will ask a question is a person whose name I don't have. He's calling from New York City, area code 718. You're unmuted. Please go ahead.
Frank Bamberger in New York City.
Hi, Frank. Thank you. Go ahead.
I just saw an article post by Hani Masri on the Maserat website, which calls for a new strategy that must entail Fatah and President Abbas accepting Hamas and the other factions as genuine partners in the PLO and PA, a strategy which does not view peace talks as the only option. Is that something that is a minority view within the Palestinian population, or does it have widespread support?
I'm not sure what Hani Masri has suggested, actually. You know, knowing what, you know, what he's thinking and what he was, you know, always talking about, you know, Hani Masri is someone who is promoting, you know, the issue, you know, just, you know, further reconciliation and further unity, as the vast majority of Palestinians. You know, to most Palestinians, you know, giving recognition to Hamas from Fatah is not a major issue, because most Palestinians, the vast majority of Palestinians, see Hamas as a Palestinian organization, and it's part of the political and social fabric of Palestine, regardless of what we like or dislike. So they see that as just a necessary condition for Palestinians to be able to bring together their own efforts to come together around a solution, and you know, for peace to progress, there is, you know, it won't, there is no way that it will progress without, you know, having unity among Palestinians, which is unlike many of the people who think that division is going to help. Division is not going to help. Only reconciliation, only having one leadership, only having election will give Palestinians the confidence and the strength and the leadership that will be able to actually bring about peaceful resolution.
Thank you very much, Nader. Maybe I'll ask you one last question real quick, and that has to do with future plans. What kind of polls are you planning in the foreseeable future? What type of things would you like to gauge, just to give us a little teaser for your next polling?
Sure. As I mentioned before, one of the main issues that we're looking at now is the issue of the Fayyad resignation, and we would like to really to get to the depth of this issue, how real it is and how widespread. And most probably we will do what we call an opinion leaders poll on that for a little more responsibility in terms of gauging this issue, as we think that more and more people are willing to support him now that he resigned. Another issue is sort of the whole issue of youth culture and youth values, basically, with all, the changes in leadership, with the disillusionment of young people, of the Palestinian leadership and the peace process and the current status quo and paradigm in general. We would like to see where Palestinian youth are, not only on political issues, but also social, cultural, and economic issues.
Right. Palestinian society is one of the youngest in the world. I don't remember now the exact proportion, but I think
we have more than 50% who are less than 15 now.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Dr. Fukaha, thank you so much for joining us, Nader. I really appreciate this. I want to thank you for bearing with us at the beginning when we had issues with the phone. And I want to thank all of the people who've joined us. Thank you very much for your patience and for bearing with us at the beginning of this call.